Welcome to the home of fantasy football's hot stove. It's the all-purpose Roto Fantasy Football Show. Let's go.
Saturdays continue to be for the hot stove at all-purpose Roto, and it might not be fantasy season except for the Super Bowl coming up, Chris, but we got plenty of stuff to talk about. We're going to keep you guys going two times a week. And thanks for all the new additional iTunes reviews. That helps us with our ratings and it helps people find us.
Yeah, that is very, very helpful. That's part of their metrics. It's some weird system that Apple comes up with to move us up or down the rankings. So we definitely appreciate reviews if you're listening to this show and you enjoy it. So that's definitely helpful. And we're in this weird period of time, but there's actually a decent amount of news. And next week we got the Super Bowl, and this Saturday we got the Senior Bowl, which I think that we're going to wait to really dive in on the prospects until a few, you know, we like to wait until a few of the guys who we trust, like Matt Waldman, Greg Cosell, Mike Mayock, a few other guys that I can't think of off the top of my head right now. Once they kind of weigh in, we like to weigh their opinions and see what they think of these players, because you and I, Bob, this is not our only job.
Correct. We've gotten that feedback before. We've gotten that feedback. You know, we really love the coverage and the opinions on the new rookies, but dudes, it's February. Give us a break. You know, we need this news in July.
Yeah, and I do think it's nice to see, you know, what these guys, who this is their job, to scout these guys, where they come in, especially, you know, right before the draft and then after they get drafted and how they're going to fit with the team. So we're going to hit on that eventually, and the Senior Bowl is definitely fun to watch. First guy who comes to mind that really kind of popped at the Senior Bowl was Von Miller, who obviously is pretty key component of Denver right now and is about to get a whole lot of money. So
he's going to get a lot of money. Yeah, we'll give you the key players. We'll mention some key notes from the game. And then, of course, as we get close to the NFL draft, we'll have a lot of fun with that. But we, of course, will come back and we'll recap all those rookies and we'll try to discover the next great young running back.
And receiver and tight end.
And receiver and tight end.
We'll talk about that eventually. But
I was going through some carnage. I know you're going to start hitting some news. I call it carnage when I look at all the I record a lot of the drafts at different sites we go to as far as cataloging where everyone went. And I kind of feel like I'm looking through a battlefield, Chris, and seeing where players went and then what happened to them. So I see, you know, a guy went 210, then I'll put in where he finished the year in that position as far as that wide receiver. And, man, your guys, Decker and Marshall, they were fantasy gold for so many people who drafted them.
Yeah, I didn't really like – I didn't hate Decker, but I didn't love him by any stretch of the imagination. And wow, that spot that he went in, that was pretty gangbusters, that value. And even Marshall fell quite a bit. And now you see people drafting him in the second round with – it's going to be a funny year with those guys.
Yeah, Decker was a seventh-round pick out in Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah, and remember the draft where it was during a preseason game in which Randall Cobb got hurt and Jeff Jensen went in like the fifth round.
Yes. like immediately.
Yeah, it was as the news spread over all of the tables. It was pretty funny. All right, well, let's jump into this. So Jonathan Jones of the Charlotte Observer had a pretty funny column this week, I thought. So Greg Olsen, he had 8 touchdowns in the regular season in the playoffs. How many times do you think Greg Olsen was tackled inside the 5?
Oh, don't tell me it was more than 3, because that would make him, wow.
8 times.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So hypothetically could add 16 touchdowns to this point. Greg's going to be 31 next year. I think that Kelvin Benjamin coming back next year actually kind of makes his value reasonable for next year. Whereas if they didn't have Kelvin Benjamin, then maybe Olsen would blow up a little bit too much, but people will be scared off because Benjamin's coming back.
Yeah, you're usually comfortable with that. You know, if you bring up the talent around, doesn't necessarily automatically mean, hey, it's a 20% reduction in targets. You're definitely on that side where you're going, hey, that's more challenging for the defense and more opportunities.
Yeah, the job that Mike Shula has done with this offense is pretty unbelievable.
There's no question that he found a rhythm with Cam Newton. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's the other thing too, is that he's got Cam Newton throwing to him. They're pretty comfortable. 31 is not too old for a tight end. Hasn't had horrific injury history. Yeah, next year he's probably like a third or fourth round pick, and I don't think that's out of the question. You mentioned
how about in Vegas? Where will he go?
Oh yeah, like you should probably take him in the late second, right?
Yeah, he'll go second round.
But that's a point.
Healthy Newton, healthy Olsen is 1.5 PPR for tight ends.
Yeah, which that's fine. Fine. That's I would advise people to take him there. You mentioned Brent Celek getting a contract. Just wanted to clarify for people. So it was 3 years, $13 million. About from what I read, $7 million guaranteed. So not a massive one by any stretch, not nearly the one that Zach Ertz had, but just wanted to clarify that for people, just so that people didn't think that the Eagles were shelling out something like $80 million for two tight ends.
Hey, they've got him there though. But there I am flipping on the side of the tennis court with you. I like that for Ertz. I think that's a better deal for him to have that guy there.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. So I guess I would be curious of if Brent Celek could have gotten this on the open market. He's a solid tight end.
He is.
It's always risky to me when you start paying like middle level players slightly above middle value, because replacement level players are pretty much the easiest thing that you can find in the NFL. They're generally all over the place. So how much would you have to spend to replace Brent Celek? I don't know if it's roughly $4 million a year, but we'll see. Wade Phillips, he has never seen a quarterback like Cam Newton. He says, quote, there isn't one like him.
I can't disagree with him there.
Yeah.
I mean, and the passion he brought this year, like I said, man, guys, he's got all the moxie right now. It's going to be a heck of a rough road for that Denver defense.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting on Sunday. But yeah, Cam's pretty good. We've decided it's pretty amazing that from where he came from at Auburn, the way that he called plays, that he transitioned this well.
Everyone, me included, there were so many people that picked on him for that quarterback school interview where you got to be kidding me. Come on, man. How far away? But look at what happened. Look at what Carolina did with patience with their franchise quarterback, right?
Well, it's clear that he put in a whole lot of work, because what was it? He knew like 30 plays.
Yes.
And he would just call out the number. So it's clear that he's put in a whole lot of work.
My favorite thing about Cam Newton is the amount of plays where when he doesn't need to take a hit, like when he'll take those big hits, he'll dive. He wants a touchdown. He wants it. But if it's a second and 15 play and he ends up running and they're caving in on him and he's gotten 7 yards, he does go down.
Yep.
He'll slide down. He won't take the hit anymore.
More credit to the Carolina coaching staff along with Cam too for getting him to this level. Chargers staying in San Diego for this year, but still holding San Diego hostage, saying, you know, this is your last chance to work out for paying for a stadium for us. They were 3-5 at home this year, 1-7 on the road. Too bad I wish that they would go one direction or the other for the sake of the fans of San Diego, because this sucks. And the Raiders are doing something similar where they're, how many different cities has Mark Davis bought land in at this point?
Well, yeah, I'm sure you're going to bring that up too, but let's talk about the San Diego thing. I don't like this news.
No.
Actually, for some players I like on that team, where he's got an agreement to relocate that team to LA.
Yep.
But he hasn't decided when or if that move will happen.
Yep.
They have until this time next year to exercise that option. So, like you said, it's literally holding them ransom for they'll get the next 4 months as a, let's call it a lame duck NFL season.
Yeah, I mean, and there's few things are as stupid as a publicly funded stadium. Few things. It's just, I feel bad for the people who are Chargers and Raiders fans. Raiders, potentially Vegas, potentially San Antonio. So lots of movement going on over on the West Coast, but it stinks for a myriad of guys, because the Chargers had some pretty serious no-shows when they were playing in San Diego this year. So that's a little frustrating. Roy Cummings of the Tampa Tribune says Bucs new offensive coordinator Todd Monken will, quote, solve the mystery of why Mike Evans dropped so many passes in 2015. Evans had 11.
Yeah, I didn't like the quote he had either. Of course, the media will make these sound bites so people kind of jump on them. But I love how they said, quote, he will take it personally.
Yeah.
If he does. Yeah. I mean, gee whiz. I mean, it's Evans, Winston's first year with him. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so how many, he led the league with what, 8?
11.
11?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it.
Yeah, and the other thing is that for a guy like Mike Evans, this is, he hasn't struggled with drops even in his rookie year or throughout his college career. This seemingly happens to a lot of guys. I think, was it last year or 2 or 3 years ago that Larry Fitzgerald led the league with like 12 or something like that? Like, this just happens sometimes to receivers where it gets in their head, they have an off year. I think that this is kind of one of those things that you pitch a project to your boss, and it's a total layup project. Like, it's something that's going to happen anyway. And then when it happens, you can say, I did that. That was me. Because I think Evans just is going to kind of come back to the norm and have maybe 5 or 6 drops next year.
Yeah. And so the bigger concern isn't this. So let's just wash this over. The concern is the coach you brought up 2 weeks ago, Dirk Koetter. Is so back at you again here. Any early more concerns than we had 2 weeks ago with Dirk Koetter not really being what we thought people think he is as far as an offensive genius with Winston there? Man, and they talk about Vince Jackson coming back, getting hurt a lot, slowing down. So you've got the tight end we like, ASJ, got Mike Evans. Doug Martin's going to be back. Jameis Winston played much better than people had expected, which I'm happy because the NFL needs these quarterbacks. So that's my question too. Is Evans a bargain because of the offensive slump this year?
Potentially. And I think that, honestly, you just mentioned him kind of in a negative light, but I think that Vincent Jackson might also be a bargain this year. This is Vincent Jackson's last shot at a contract. He's going to be 33. I think he's making $12 million roughly next year. I read they're about $50 million under the cap, so they have no reason to cut him. None, because they don't need more money for free agents because they're swimming in money right now. So we've seen this time and again that players want that last contract. Players want to get paid. He's going to be in the best possible shape that he can so that he can get one more paycheck. And he could have a pretty nice season with Jameis Winston in his second year. I think I'm definitely concerned with Koetter overall, or Koetter, however you say Koetter. Yeah, I think it's Koetter.
I think you're right.
In any case, I'm not a fan of his offenses or what he's done. I think that I don't know what he did to deserve this. I'll put it that way. Not that Lovie Smith should have stayed either, but I think that there were better options out there. But yeah, this offense in general, I think, is trending upward, even just because of the talent on the offense, not because of the people who are calling the plays.
Yeah, you're right there. You know, I'm looking at some more Greg Olsen stats. You got me on that, comparing him to the rest of the tight ends that were out there. And if you throw in those touchdowns, that's very interesting because it moves him up there. But he was significantly behind 4 other tight ends in receiving TDs. But when it came to yards, receptions, targets, I mean, he was right up there. So he's such a big part of that offense. I think you're right. He is going to be so. Does he leapfrog guys that did better this year? Delanie Walker, Jordan Reed, Gary Barnage. Is he the number 2 guy?
He could be. I think he has the talent to be.
Would you be shocked to know Benjamin Watson was the 7th scoring tight end in fantasy points?
No, he was on fire towards the end of the year there.
Number 7, above Kelce and Ertz.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
I guess they were, well, Ertz was only good at the end of the year, but Kelce's kind of surprising.
By a point, only a point for Ertz, but still, Watson was 7 and Ertz was 9. That's PPR format. So in FFPC, I'd have to look up the receptions. Kelce might take them because Benjamin took advantage of some touchdown opportunities. But
yep.
I think that Saint team's going to be so different. I know I kind of pulled us off a detour there on that discussion, but
that's fine.
Olsen, these tight ends, every year becomes a very pivotal discussion as to what you're going to do. And, of course, has an impact on younger tight ends. But there's nothing here young that people are investing in the future because Eifert's, locked in. Ertz is now locked in. Kelce's locked in. Kyle Rudolph disappointed at 15. Can he make another step change, Chris?
For Kyle Rudolph, you think?
Yeah, that's what I mean. So is he a guy that will maybe could move up into the top 10? We've been saying that for a couple of years.
I mean, they didn't exactly overly endorse Teddy Bridgewater. Hypothetically, with Norv year three, you would think that he would, but I want to see what they're going to do on that offense, because they need to get a better offensive line first and foremost. They need to kind of figure that out, because Teddy was under siege last year. And if they can help that offensive line out, then I do think that, that Rudolph could be a nice option for a lot of people.
So the young guys that didn't make it this year, or players in transition at tight end, that we'll have to see how far they move up compared to their finished year production. ASJ, who was hurt most of the year, was 32nd. The other guy, though, you know, Julius Thomas played some games pretty decent once he got healthy. He was 19. And the last player, quick question for you, Martellus Bennett, moving on, is there gas in the tank depending on where he goes?
Could be, yeah. And I think that the thing that you need to remember, too, is that rookie tight ends and even second-year tight ends rarely make an impact. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could see a guy like Eric Ebron take the next step next year. You never know. So, you know, Rob Gronkowski had a pretty great season as a rookie. Just to give you an idea, you want to know, do you remember what his numbers were?
I remember that you lost if you didn't have him.
Well, no, actually. So he had 10 touchdowns, which was great, but he only had 42 receptions and 546 yards. It was 2011 where he went completely ballistic with 90 catches for 1,327 yards and 17 touchdowns. That was the second year was the year where he just went completely and utterly nuts. But that rookie year, you know, still kind of getting acclimated to the offense. He was a red zone threat, but he was not the all around threat that he.
What was his rookie year? What year was that?
2010.
Thanks. I'll peruse that. Okay, what's next? I got to stop a detour, but you got me going on Greg Olsen there. I got the Greg Olsen Cam Newton coke addiction, man.
Matt Forte, all but gone from the Raiders. Another guy kind of in the same situation as Martellus Bennett.
Bears.
He's going to be 30. But someone's going to sign him. Someone's going to give him some cash. What's your impression of Matt Forte going into 2016, and where is he going to go?
Well, again, I think now with running backs, we see it constantly. You know, he's going to be a role player. You're going to have to put a limit on what you expect for a ceiling. He didn't get a lot of overuse this year, and he's probably what, a solid 60 to possibly 70 catch running back. It's the touchdowns that concern me, because today the NFL, they're going to scheme those 20s inside those 20s. And I don't see Forte being a touchdown magnet next year, no matter where he goes. But he's a whole lot better than what you warned us about with Frank Gore in Indianapolis. And that team's a wreck. No offensive line, no offensive line coach. I mean, he's a better option, but they're not going to get him.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that I would worry about is if a team signed him just to be their running back. I would be a little concerned about him.
That would be bad.
Lasting the entire year. If like just he's the guy, he's the starter. This is all we need, because I think if you pair him with someone, and he's the passing down guy, you know, third down guy, gets, you know, 180 to 220 carries, and like you said, 60 to 80 catches. I think that's the optimal way to use this guy at this point. I think that he can still do that. I think if you want to give him 300 touches, or 300 carries, excuse me, that's a mistake. That's
a big mistake. Yeah. But, you know, so history will repeat itself. All these teams that sign these running backs to come over to try to help them, it's not been working, Chris.
Yeah, but we'll see. I don't think anybody's going to break the bank on Forte. I could be wrong, but I think that he's going to be a nice value signing.
You know, you're just killing me. I keep going backwards to stats. You know, that rookie year, I forgot about Aaron Hernandez, man. He had 144 PPR points alone. Yeah. I mean, holy cow. And it was Antonio Gates leading the league that year. Yeah. Jeepers, you know. So he tied him with the 10 touchdowns, like you said. But in his fantasy points, he was number 5 that season. It's just interesting, like I said, to see these tight ends go up and down so quickly. Gronk is the anomaly.
It is really one of the more amazing things to think about, that if Aaron Hernandez wasn't an idiot and wasn't murdering people left and right, that it was potentially the greatest tight end duel we've seen. You know, that it's pretty crazy that maybe the two best tight ends in the entire league were on the same team. We've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, it's just, wow. Yeah. Only lost one fumble that year, too.
That's interesting.
That's a good stat for a rookie tight end, where he was getting the ball. Yeah. But Forte, I'm with you. I mean, you already know I'm running back leery to begin with, and we did that talk with the Southern Bluegrass champion about running backs. They had like four of their top five in the first round. I'd call them bust because either got hurt or didn't play. So Forte, I don't know. I'll throw it back to you. I don't see a team where I'm interested in taking Matt Forte in the second or third round next year. Is there a team he went to you would take him in the second or third round?
Patriots.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll take that. That'll work.
Yeah.
Are the Jets, if Ivory leaves? No, I wouldn't even do that either.
I don't think Ivory's leaving, but
I don't either.
It's funny that
Patriots? Is that the only team then?
It's funny that you say the Jets, though, because I was actually thinking, I don't know what his relationship with Brandon Marshall is, but if Forte went there to be the Powell, kind of the Powell upgrade, I like Bilal Powell, don't get me wrong, but I think that Forte can be a better version of him. And Ivory can be the short yardage guy. So.
Matt's going to die a terrible fantasy death. He's going to go to like San Francisco or New Orleans. He's going to go to fantasy graveyards, and people are going to draft him in the late second or early third round and hope they get something, and they're going to be really disappointed.
I don't think next year's the year he goes to the graveyard. I think he will eventually, but we'll see.
Because he's going to go to a bad team that doesn't work. He's going to go to a team that doesn't work for him. You know, I think he has it in the tank. I agree, but the fit, it's just not going to happen. The teams that are trying to get into the playoffs now are not going to add a player like that.
You know what would have been helpful to know towards the end of the year this year, Bob?
What?
Was Amari Cooper's foot injury.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have.
I was irritated.
Yeah. So last 4 weeks of the year, battling a foot injury, they almost put him in an IR in week 14, I think Reggie McKenzie said.
Yep.
So Amari Cooper, people talking about struggling with drops, another guy who down the stretch struggled with drops, but keep in mind, these guys could be struggling with injuries. You never know. And Amari Cooper, I talked about it, that if there's one guy who I could see, depending on how this offseason goes for the Raiders, when they've got to get another guy besides Latavius Murray, as much as I like Murray, they need to have another viable running back there. And if they don't, I could totally see this offense going the route that the Texans did with DeAndre Hopkins with Amari Cooper.
Yeah. So how much of that sticking the season out do you think was Cooper's decision? I kind of think it was his.
Yeah, I mean, it probably was. He definitely, I'll put it this way, he wasn't uninvolved in that decision.
Yeah. So I like that. I like it.
He wasn't crying to his parents saying that the coaching staff and the team was making him play, right?
Yep. So I'm going to, I buy into the hype there. I'm going to say, yeah, he gutted it out. That's my type of player. I'm moving him up the board.
Quote of the week.
Go.
Thomas Dimitrioff, he's the GM of the Falcons.
Yeah.
He spoke about Roddy White. Did you hear what he said?
He's still the GM. That's a shame.
Quote, White is under contract. What's his quote about Roddy White?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that, though. The picks that he's made when he's had them are actually pretty good. It's just, I think that Roddy White trade really, Roddy White, the Julio Jones trade, that really stripped the cupboard bare, man. It's hard to build a all around team when you're missing, was it five draft picks or six draft picks?
I know, but that's a weak roster.
Yeah.
The GM is not those top four picks, yep. Right? It's just not. The GM is the guy who lets that coach have players that some come in to fill roles, and man, they just, I mean, think of all the things that happen as a manager and a leader that help you run an organization. Five guys that are great athletes that buy into the system, and even though they don't start and they don't get a chance to start, they're mavens on special teams. They're great in practice. They help out on the scout team. And then your third string guard is a guy who can not get Matt Ryan killed. I look at that roster, and I think it's one of the weakest rosters in the NFL.
I mean, I think the one thing that you look at is, if you remember those Bill Polian built Colts teams, where it was Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Dwight Freeney, and a bunch of scrubs.
Yep, and he rode that.
And you look at how lucky they were in that those guys largely stayed healthy. They're big money ticket guys, because when you're paying a lot of money for those type of guys, if they get injured and the guy who you're paying the minimum then has to play. That's where you really get hurt. And the Stars and Scrubs philosophy, when you start seeing injuries, really hurts you. And that's what the Falcons have been doing these last few years. So kind of puts your back up against the wall with that type of strategy. But Le'Veon Bell, this is the year he gets a contract, allegedly. But the Steelers won't break the bank for him. Le'Veon is going to be 24. The rare, extraordinarily young running back who might hit the free agent market. So we could see a pretty crazy contract for Le'Veon.
We could, but again, so at the one, any pick up to the top eight, are you taking Le'Veon Bell?
At eight, I would take Le'Veon Bell. Yeah.
How about at seven?
Six and back, I would take Le'Veon Bell. I think that he's 100% worth the risk. We've seen what he does when he's healthy. The other thing too is that normally, you know, we talk about, and I'll segue into Doug Martin at the same time here. So we talk about overpaying running backs and how damaging that can be for your team. I think the Buccaneers are in a unique situation because they can actually afford to pay Doug Martin because Jameis Winston makes nothing when you compare him to other quarterbacks. So Jameis Winston being underpaid by about 50% as a quarterback and being locked into that contract enables you to say, well, all right, normally we wouldn't give a running back $6 million a year, but Doug had a good year last year. We don't want our offense to take a step back. So we'll give Doug a little bit more than maybe he's worth. And the same could be said for Le'Veon Bell. If Le'Veon Bell hits the open market 2 years from now, and you know, at that point, Winston and Mariota will be almost getting paid, but whoever the next hot young quarterback is, that team could easily afford to pay, you know, $10 million a year for Le'Veon Bell at that point. It's not that out of the question at that point.
That team is Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, an offensive line, those linebackers, Bryant. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers will be crazy to spend a lot of money on a running back in today's market. They're
in cap hell right now.
He could walk. They could let him go. Yeah. They don't need him. I'm sorry. I don't think people are going to kill me and say I'm an idiot. That player is not important to that team, and we saw it this year.
I disagree with that. I think that they go from a great offense to a historically great offense when Le'Veon Bell's there. I think that the things that you can do with that guy, and you saw it last year, man. Last year when he got dinged right before that Ravens game, that completely changed their entire offense. He is a very, very good player. So
they can get two or three other running backs that will do good enough. And I'd rather have an upgrade on my offensive line. I'd rather have another great backup center. I'd rather have a different defense. You know what I mean? There's just other players that will play more snaps and help that team. They don't need him to move the ball. D'Angelo Williams moved the ball for that team.
In any case, I think the thing to keep in mind here is that he's with the Steelers for another 2 years, and
that's right.
Unless they trade him. And Le'Veon has nothing preventing him from having great seasons. He has every motivation to have two great seasons. So
that's
you know, I would be shocked if Le'Veon Bell didn't come in fantastic shape, doing everything to keep his body healthy.
Yeah, if you'd asked me 2 years ago if DeMarco Murray could handle the workload he did in Dallas that year, I would have told 100 out of 100 people, you're out of your mind. He won't last 12 weeks. He could never get 1,000 yards. I like him, great player, but he's never going to make it. He can't stay healthy. And look what he did that year.
To be fair, no human being could stand the pounding that DeMarco Murray took last year.
2 years ago.
2 years ago, excuse me.
You got me in this statistic kind of groove, and you got me on all these players that I'm very curious about. So I'm kind of liking today's show for Bob. I'm looking up Cooper and Crabtree. Do you know Crabtree beat Cooper in everything except for receiving yardage last year?
Yeah, he was definitely the intermediate guy, and I would have to look at the splits of when Cooper got hurt too, because I think that the injury probably hurt
kinda
him there.
Came on.
Yeah.
I agree. And they're close. Don't get me wrong. They're way close in total points for the year, way close. And it's just receiving yardage where Cooper beat him out. But these guys did a great job last year. Those two wide receivers with Carr, they're dangerous. An offense we're definitely going to watch.
However, from a talent standpoint, I don't think it's close. I think Cooper is a much more talented wide receiver than not, and that's no slam on Crabtree. Crabtree's a nice, good wide receiver for people, but
yeah, I have to look up where he went.
Cooper is transcendent potentially, so we'll see. All right,
get him a tight end.
We didn't have time to do this on Wednesday, so I am going to buzz through the first two or three rounds here. Of 11th
round. Crabtree went in the 11th round in Vegas. Why didn't I take him there?
We did take him in a few leagues.
It did, not what I did.
Oh. So last year, 2015, the ADP, this is the first round, Bob.
Yep.
Peterson, Bell, Lacey, Jamal Charles, Marshawn Lynch, Antonio Brown, CJ Anderson, Dez Bryant, Julio Jones, Jeremy Hill, Andrew Luck, Demaryius Thomas. Not a great batting average.
No.
For the first round.
No.
Moving on to the second round, Gronk, DeMarco Murray, Odell Beckham Jr., Matt Forte, Calvin Johnson, Randall Cobb, AJ Green, LeSean McCoy, Justin Forsett, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Miller, and T.Y. Hilton. Not super great in the second round either.
Better, I think.
Slightly better. Third round, Brandon Cooks, Frank Gore, Jordan Matthews, Alshon Jeffrey, Mark Ingram, Mike Evans, Latavius Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Jimmy Graham, Alfred Morris, Devontae Adams, and Emmanuel Sanders.
Wow, Adams in the third round. Good gosh.
Fourth round, we got Doug Martin, Carlos Hyde, Arian Foster, Andre Johnson, Melvin Gordon, Chris Ivory, Jeremy Maclin, Amari Cooper, Peyton Manning, Amir Abdullah, Golden Tate, and Jonathan Stewart.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's just going to show you that, you know, these perceived studs. So next year when you're not drafting running backs, no one's drafting running backs in the first four rounds next year to listen to people talk, Bob, right?
Right now, listen to people talk, and even myself, but I'm always that way, but even much worse than normal. You're right. And I'm not saying it's the right strategy. We're going to wait, look at, evaluate, make our draft boards. But right now, yeah, you hear everyone putting it down.
And I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but to your point that, so if people go wide receiver crazy or tight end crazy or something like that, and Le'Veon Bell falls to the mid to late first round, I'm probably going to take Le'Veon Bell. And then, you know, in the third round, if, say, I'm trying to pull somebody here, if for some reason this isn't going to happen, but I'm just throwing Jamal Charles out there. If you could also get Jamal Charles because he fell to late second round or something like that.
Kind of injury concerns. You've got the impact of the two other running backs now there pushing on that situation. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you going to push for Martavis Bryant? So you're in the late second round or mid second round.
Right.
Are you going to push for Martavis Bryant at that point or are you going to take Jamal Charles?
Exactly. Or even Lamar Miller.
Yeah. If he's even back with your Dolphins, Bob.
Right. Well, in those 15 Vegas drafts, six running backs went in the second round last year, and only three went in the first round. Now, of course, the tight end influences that a bit because usually one tight end goes in round one, and another one goes in two. So it kind of takes a couple positions out of that compared to your standard PPR drafts. But so if it was 3 and 6 last year, is it going to be 2 and 8, something like that? You know, coming up in August, I don't know, but. We saw your guy, you know, Le'Veon Bell slip to the end of round one, round two a lot there. Marshawn Lynch, CJ Anderson, Jeremy Hill, those guys. So, but are you going to miss out on maybe the next season like a DeAndre Hopkins had and take a Jeremy Hill? You know, tough, very tough, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, don't act like that DeAndre Hopkins season is easily repeatable either.
He was like Josh Gordon. Whoever at quarterback. Jason Campbell at quarterback. DeAndre Hopkins, 12 catches.
I guess that what I'm saying is that, you know, DeAndre hypothetically could do that again next year. But
I agree.
You know, that's why when I said I was looking around the league at a guy who hypothetically could do that, the only one that I really saw was Amari Cooper that's currently in the NFL. And doesn't already have like a great quarterback. You know, Derek Carr is a good quarterback, but a guy who hypothetically you could do that to an offense with is Amari Cooper, because those type of beasts, I can't come up with a better word for DeAndre Hopkins than beast, aren't dime a dozen. But, you know, not every team has one of those guys.
We have weird stuff. I mean, this is going to be one of the most interesting draft boards to start putting value to this year. You've got some odd things we've got to factor in to figure out where these players are going to slot now. Dez Bryant and Demaryius Thomas, you know, come right to my mind. Randall Cobb, three first-round type wide receivers. Cobb, say, second. That next year, you've got this other asterisk now that you got to factor in, right?
Yeah. How funny is it going to be when the Cowboys sign Johnny Manziel after saying that?
It's not going to be funny.
After saying that they're getting rid of Greg Hardy, not because he nearly beat his girlfriend to death, but because he drank too much
He wasn't bought into the system.
Yeah, but we're going to bring Johnny Manziel in. Oh, wait, Johnny Manziel drinks? Does Johnny Manziel drink?
Oh, my gosh. I don't understand Dallas, but they're helping me stay away from Dez Bryant. That's a big reason I didn't. I mean, what do we have Dez in one team? Love him as a player, but hate the Cowboys' use of their offense. Just ridiculous with that type of talent. Ridiculous production on the win-loss column for that type of talent. Just ridiculous.
Dez could be a nice value.
Actually, I agree.
Could be a nice
value. But, I mean, it's just I'm glad they're a wreck because I didn't get burnt by anybody there this year except for one or two times.
All right. Anything else before we go?
No, that's it. I'm started on finish on a downer on the damn Cowboys.
Well, I mean, all those guys potentially could be goodbyes next year, though. So
they could. You didn't take my bait when I said the Colts didn't have an offensive line coach. I thought you might say something.
Oh, you mean your buddy, Joe Philbin? Yes.
Yeah, I say they do have one. So he's not a coach.
They're they're assembling quite the crew there.
Yeah, they're really yeah. Ursay's really on fire now. He's got it going.
I mean, I think he's gonna come down off this pill high sometime around May.
I was gonna say 2019.
Yeah.
I feel very bad for Luck Dynasty owners still and Hilton Dynasty owners. I feel bad for you.
Well, kind of weird that we haven't really heard any more about them re-signing him too, right?
No. So. It's not good. But hey, it was a good show, and thanks for getting our stuff out for us for all our great listeners. And looking forward to getting ready for the Super Bowl.
All right. We'll see you on Wednesday, guys. Thanks for listening.